Welcome to the Baseball America Podcast. Baseball America, bringing you baseball news you can't get anywhere else for more than 35 years. Now it's time to talk baseball.
Hi, everybody. I'm John Manuel, along with Michael and Anna. Welcome to another Baseball America On Campus Facebook Live. We want to remind you that Baseball America's On Campus Facebook Lives are brought to you by Louisville Slugger, power in numbers. And there's a lot of power this weekend in the number of high-level tournaments, Mike, that we're going to see in college baseball this weekend. We've got three significant ones to run down. We've even got a local one with the Irish Classic in our backyard here in North Carolina. You'll be heading down to South Carolina, where Clemson and South Carolina have what I say is, I think most people would admit, is college baseball's biggest rivalry. Our Ted Cahill, the only reason he's not here is he's headed to Houston for the Shriners College Classic, formerly the Astros College Classic. So that's going to be a significant tournament. We'll talk a little bit about the new tournament in Frisco, Texas as well. But Mike, let's start off with where you're headed. You're headed down to Columbia, South Carolina. And it's like, the first thing I love about this series is that they play one in South Carolina, one in Clemson, one neutral, right?
Yeah, no, I'm going to get the full tour of South Carolina. I'm going to be starting in Clemson tomorrow night, Greenville on Saturday, the home of the Greenville Drive.
Floor love field. That ballpark.
It's a beautiful ballpark. It's awesome. And then finishing in Columbia. So, you know, I'm going to sample all the local cuisine while I'm there, and for sure.
It's a good thing I'm not going.
Yeah. Yeah, so definitely.
Mustard-based barbecue would upset my delicate particulars. I'm not into the mustard-based. Nothing against South Carolina. It is the home of amazing college baseball. And I mean, on-campus facilities, I mean, if you're doing a list of the top 10, Clemson and South Carolina are probably both in the top 10, aren't they?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, at Clemson, they've done a lot of renovations lately toward the new facilities they have down the first base line last year, and it's beautiful. It's a really nice setup that they have there,
and I'm sure that if Marty Lees asks nicely, Dabo Sweeney would let them use the slide and the sleep room and all the new gear the national championship football team has there as well.
Oh, I'm sure. I mean, all Clemson's athletic facilities are all together around the same area, so I'm sure they borrow and all that kind of stuff.
They're all pretty tricked out right now. So.
Yeah, and South Carolina Founders Park is amazing. I mean, it's basically a minor league field, just the feel of it. And
it's a AAA stadium is what it feels like.
Yeah.
You walk into it, and it feels like there's garnet and black everywhere, and it feels like, I mean, Andrew Kittick always tells me, their sports information director for baseball, who is, in my mind, the top-notch, hard to beat. There might be other people who tie him, but Andrew's my personal favorite. Sorry to out you that way, Andrew. But he always rolls out the garnet carpet for Baseball America. It is a first-class operation over there.
Oh, yeah, definitely, definitely. And Brian Hennessy with Clemson as well.
He's the dean of baseball SIDs.
This is more so a rivalry on a baseball field. It's a rivalry between SIDs, I would say.
I think you're right.
Who's the more accommodating SID? And we'll find out. We'll see.
Who will stuff this guy full of free food more this weekend? That's a big question. But, you know, Mike, historically, Clemson had the better program for a long time. Mm-hmm. And they owned the advantage in the overall series historically. Mm-hmm. But I was there in 2002, because I'm old. I was there in 2002 when the series changed. I'll never forget seeing Khalil Greene struggle, even just in and out, you know, missing routine plays and in and out. Seeing Clemson, you could see them. It was like the Simpsons where you see Ralph Wiggum's heartbreak. You could see Clemson tighten up pregame in Omaha in 2002. They were 2-0, but in the first game, where the bracket championship between South Carolina and Clemson, Matt Campbell, the left-hander, was pitching really well for South Carolina. And when he struck out the side in an inning, all the South Carolina players flipped their hats out onto the field because of the hat trick. And when South Carolina finished winning that game, and Jack Leggett was so irritated about that, he talked about it, and Ray Tanner was so loose afterwards. And that's where it switched. South Carolina won both those games. They went through Clemson, got to the College World Series final. They didn't win it that year, but obviously they've won back-to-back championships since then in 2010, 2011, lost in the finals in 2012. Now, Clemson won the ACC last year. Marty Leese in his first year. Not Marty Leese, I'm sorry.
Monty Lee.
I get Monty Lee and Marty Leese mixed up in my head. They're both both fine college baseball coaches. But Monty Lee took over for Jack Leggett. Some pressure there, replacing a guy who had an outstanding college coaching career. Won the ACC tournament in his first year there. They were a host. They were top eight national seed. So the battle was rejoined last year as Clemson kind of got back. You've seen a few iterations of this rivalry as well. Mm-hmm. What makes it special, and who has the edge going into it this year?
Yeah, it's, well, what makes it special, first of all, is just the atmosphere. I mean, it's hard to find a better atmosphere for a college baseball series than the atmosphere that you see here. And then obviously the uniqueness of playing in three different ballparks, you know, it's a phenomenal rivalry, and it almost feels like a little taste of the postseason when you're there, just with how amped up people are, because there's legitimate, you know, this is, you know, in South Carolina, this is the big leagues. I mean, there's, you know, you don't have the pro teams there.
No
so
question.
This is big league baseball.
It's like a super regional in March, basically every year.
Yeah. It's phenomenal. And obviously both teams, you know, are usually, you know, the product on the field is going to be very good. And that's the case again this year. And you look at these two teams matching up. I mean, you have to give South Carolina the edge, I think, at least the slight edge, just because of the pitchers that they can run out there.
It's the power arm difference between these two programs is just so stark right now.
Yeah, I mean, their rotation, you know, fronted by Clark Schmidt, the brother of Clayton Schmidt, who had just graduated from Clemson, you know, a 4-year player for them. You know, he's leading the rotation. He has the chance to be, you know, one of the top college pitchers taken in the draft. And then behind him, you have Will Crow, another guy who has the chance to be, you know, one of the top, you know, college pitchers taken in the draft. You guys with premium stuff. And then, you know, on Sunday, you have Adam Hill, who, you know, has good stuff in his own right and had a great year last year. And then
he's been outstanding.
Yeah. And then you have Tyler Johnson in the back end of the bullpen, who's, you know, he can be filthy at times. And so, you know, Clemson, on the other hand, is a little more offensively geared, I would say. Their rotation is more of a, you know, a pitchability kind of rotation than, you know, compared to South Carolina's, which is more power arms.
I mean, in terms of accomplishments, the Temple transfer, Pat Crawl, was as good as any of these guys last year, if not better than any of these guys. And he's back for his senior season.
Yeah.
But he's a touch field lefty.
Yeah,
mid-80s. It doesn't mean that he's not good.
Yeah.
But he's just not a dominating type. I mean, he's really more... If he's close to anybody in this history of this rivalry, he's more Michael Ross than he is one of these power arms. Doesn't mean that he can't be really good.
Yeah.
And Michael Ross got to the big leagues, but Will Crow and these guys, just Teddy tweeted this out yesterday. Clark Schmidt, Will Crow, Adam Hiller combined 3-2 with an 0.99 ERA this year with 43 strikeouts and 9 walks. So
it's not bad.
It's not bad. So South Carolina has experience. They have power on the mound. So for Clemson to win the series, they're going to have to, it seems like, beat a couple of these guys, or get the Tyler Johnson in the bullpen, or try to get maybe that the middle relief for South Carolina, which the best thing for them is that it's early, and those guys aren't necessarily in midseason shape, and I wouldn't expect you'll see more than 6-7 innings, even at their best, for Hall or Schmidt or Crow, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's about what I would expect, but yeah, I mean, this is one of those series, you never know who's going to step up, you know, sometimes, you know, a couple of years ago, it was Brody Corner who threw a complete game shutout, and
Out of nowhere.
The rest of that year, he struggled. But, you know, in that game, you know, sometimes, you know, players will rise to the occasion. So you never know. I'm sure at some point this weekend, there's going to be some kind of unlikely hero that no one's going to expect, whether, you know, walk-off hit or someone just taking the mound and shutting them down, you know.
That's one of the best things about that event is that it is an event. It's not a tournament, but it's an event. And that's one of the things that makes this rivalry different is that it's non-conference, but they always play three games.
Yeah.
But there is always that player who's the peak of his college career is what he did in this Clemson-South Carolina rivalry. It's really pretty special. I know we have North Carolina Duke in basketball this weekend, and ESPN's been hyping it all week, and it'll keep on hyping it. But this baseball rivalry, I mean,
it's special.
It's really different.
I mean, it's one of the reasons you go to South Carolina or Clemson, I think, is just to...
As a player, yeah.
Yeah, to partake in that rivalry just because of how intense it is and how special it is and just the history of it.
And it's remained that way even with coaching changes, even as things have changed in that between the two you know, programs. So let's go to Texas where Ted Cahill's going to be this weekend. The Shriners Hospitals College Classic. I would say in general, year in, year out, what used to be called the Astros College Classic, this is the best preseason tournament in college baseball. The Tony Gwynn Classic in San Diego is off to a pretty good start the last couple of years. It's still newish, played on campus. You have a lot of great tournaments around the country. The Keith LeClair Classic is this weekend in East Carolina. That's always a good tournament as well. There are a lot of great tournament fields the next couple of years. The Dairy Queen Tournament is going to come back to Minnesota. But this Houston College Classic that's played in what used to be Enron Field, now played in Minute Maid Park in Houston. Year in and year out, this is the one where scouts flock to, Mike. I mean, and this year's field is as good as it's ever been.
It's basically Omaha in a lot of ways. I mean, you look at this field, you have TCU you know, our number one team right now. You have LSU, our number four team. You've got Texas Tech, an Omaha team last year, also in our top 25.
And I'm kind of on a Tim Tadlock, J-Bob, forget J-Bob's, I think it's J-Bob Thomas, as recruiting coordinator. I'm on a Texas Tech kick right now. I just can't believe how quickly Tim Tadlock has made Texas Tech a top-notch program. And we thought this was going to happen when Larry Hayes retired and they hired Dan Spencer, who had been assistant coach at Oregon State. We thought this was a great hire. You know, Spencer was really good at Oregon State, key to their 2006 national championship, recruiting coordinator, was ready to go be a head coach, went to the Big 12 as a head coach. And, you know, the Big 12 had some issues. That was right about when A&M was getting ready to leave. But I don't think that really is why he didn't succeed at Texas Tech. It just didn't work out. You know, lots of reasons. I'm not a Texas Tech message board denizen, so I can't tell you. I'm sure someone could tell me with a hashtag recum at the end. But it didn't work out. But Tim Tadlock has worked from day one at Texas Tech. You know, it's just stunning to me that they've been to Omaha two times in 3 years.
Yeah.
And they're really good and they're highly ranked. And those are like almost afterthought teams in this. When you have number one, TCU and LSU both in there, two top five teams.
Yeah. No, I mean, I like Texas Tech's club a lot. You know, they lost a lot from a position player standpoint, just
right.
Because, I mean, you looked at their lineup last year, a lot of seniors in that lineup, but, you know, they bring back their entire rotation, you know, because they started all freshmen last
right.
year, which is remarkable that they made it to Omaha starting off. I mean, he has done an incredible job there, no question. And, you know, looking at the rest of this field in Houston, you know, I'm jealous Teddy's going to get to see all of this because every team in this field is ranked except for one, and that's Baylor, and Baylor's 9-0.
I was going to say, they're the unranked team, and they haven't lost yet.
Yeah, they're 9-0. So, yeah, you have Ole Miss in the mix here, and they're off to a great start. You know, a team that, you know, they swept, you know, then number six ECU opening
right.
weekend, and they're a young team, but they're an exciting team. There's a lot of talent on that club, and, you know, if they have a high ceiling if they play up to their potential, you know, with the young players that they have on their team. And yeah, it's definitely going to be one heck of a tournament for sure.
I mean, I just think the fact that college baseball in that area is good anyway, but they always seem like they bring in not, you know, teams that aren't from Texas in a year that's really good for them. You know, where they have draft prospects or whatever. Always seems like the organizers of that tournament have a real feel for who's going to be good in the coming years and do a great job of it.
Yeah.
But that's not the only great tournament in Texas this year. Frisco is home to, I'm blanking, I believe it's
the
double
Rough
A
Riders.
Frisco. That's how Rough Riders roll, they're double A. DMX doesn't usually make it into the college preview, weekend preview or to the Facebook Live, but that's because I'm usually not involved. So DMX is always welcome. But so Frisco Baseball Classic, it's the first time that this double A franchise is hosting a college tournament.
Mm-hmm.
For their first time, Mike, it's a pretty great field. I mean, they also did a tremendous job and should be commended for the teams they picked. You got Arizona, mm-hmm. defending national runner-up, if that's such a thing. National runner-up last year. Arkansas, Nebraska, and Oklahoma State. So two Omaha teams from last year, Nebraska and Arkansas, certainly not chopped liver.
Right.
What do we look at in this field? What are you most anticipating in this field?
Yeah, well, just starting off with them putting together this field, I mean, this is something that they've been working on for a couple of years now. You know, I talked with Ryan Holloway, who's the president of the Frisco Classic. And, you know, he was talking about how they really believe in their motto of just, you know, being the best thing other than Omaha, essentially, and trying to put together, you know, kind of an Omaha kind of experience. And so they wanted to pick teams that were reflective of that. And, you know, they announced this field last year, and I'm sure they were all pretty excited to see that half of that field made it to Omaha. And obviously Arkansas has made it to Omaha, you know, quite a bit in recent years. I mean, they were there, you know, the year before last. So yeah, it's an excellent field. And, you know, I'm excited to see, you know, just the rematch of Oklahoma State and Arizona.
Yeah.
Because
those were two really good games in Omaha last year.
Yeah. They were fun to watch in Omaha last year. And, you know, two excellent coaches there as well. And you know, and Josh Holliday and Jay Johnson. And
Arizona's been really interesting this year because they, again, we talked about with Texas Tech, how many position players Arizona had to replace.
Yeah.
And yet, it's Eastern Kentucky and McNeese State.
Yeah.
It has not been a high level strength of schedule yet for Arizona. This will be their first big test.
Mm-hmm.
But so far, Mike, they're seeming like they have zero difficulty scoring runs.
Yeah.
How are they doing it?
Yeah, well, you know, I'll tell you what, Nick Quintana can,
you know, I like that guy.
He can swing it. Yeah. He can swing it. You know, he was a guy, you know, going to showcases, you know, every time I'd hear Loud Contact, I'd look up and it was
Nick Quintana.
Yeah. And he's hitting 500 so far in the early going and he's leading their team. And, you know, Jared Oliva is a player who's always kind of had those tools and flash potential. And
he's one of the holdovers.
Yeah. Last year, I mean, he put together a nice College World Series and, you know, showed, you know, kind of the potential that he had. And so far he's playing well. JJ Matijevic, another holdover. He's hitting well so far. And then, you know, you look at the pitching side and JC Cloney, I don't think he's ever going to give up another earned run.
No, that guy is ridiculously good. I mean, we were talking about earlier with Pat Kroll. I mean, you don't have to be a power pitcher to succeed at any level.
Yeah.
But the higher you go, the more power you need. We can get JJ Cooper here and talk about the importance of velocity. But JD Cloney is just like the ultimate college off speed left-hander, kind of in that Pat Kroll mode. I mean, mid to upper 80s.
Yeah.
But he just puts it where he wants to, Mike.
Yeah, he's just that. He has good feel, and you know, he can cut it and sink it, and you know, manipulate the baseball in that way. And you know, the rest of the rotation, I think they're still trying to piece together and figure out, you know, how it's going to line up.
But see, then, 2016 Arizona after JD Cloney.
Exactly. And you know, they still have Cameron Ming, who's an important piece in that bullpen. He hasn't given up a run yet this year.
I've heard he can be merciless.
Yeah.
Sorry, that's an old comic book reference. I all my references, as we discussed yesterday, are too old for you.
They are, but I just laugh politely and we change the subject. So
moving on. This is an important weekend, I think, for Nebraska and for Arkansas. Arkansas's off to a 7-1 start, Mike, but they didn't go to regionals last year.
Yeah.
Very un-Dave Van Horn-like. Yeah. And Nebraska, you know, this has been a challenge the last couple of years for Darren Erstad. You know, big leaguers don't always have a long history of success as college baseball coaches. What do these two teams have to do to get back to regional play? And what is so far, Arkansas has been a little bit better than they were last year. They just split two midweek games with Louisiana Tech, which was a regional team last year and is feisty again.
Yeah.
What's your take on those two clubs?
Yeah, well, you know, Arkansas, I mean, it's a team that we discussed as, you know, a potential top 25 team coming in. And it's a team that we projected to go to a regional. You know, it's a club that we like.
Yeah.
You know, they haven't had Isaiah Campbell, which is someone that they were expecting to count on as their ace.
Hmm.
So they've had to, you know, overcome that so far just because they haven't had him. But, you know, I believe in that coaching staff. I mean, obviously last year was kind of a down year for them and a tough year for them, but.
And they did change. I mean, Dave Van Horn's figured out different ways for years and years.
Yeah.
Different pitching coach there for the first time in a long time with Dave Jorn out.
Yeah.
And I'm already blanking on his replacement's name, who came from Dallas Baptist to Mississippi State, now to Arkansas. But this is a guy who has a history of developing power arms.
Wes Johnson.
See, that's what I thought of, and I thought, that's just way too basic. His name's not Wes Johnson.
I wanted to double check. That's what I was thinking too. But yeah, no, Wes Johnson, at Dallas Baptist. I mean, you look at the arms they turned out. I mean, Chance Adams and.
Yeah, Drew Smith. I mean, just power arm after power arm after power arm.
Yeah.
Again, so he's a velocity guy. And
yeah.
I think that's not what Arkansas has been known for in the past.
No, but. I mean, and they do have talented pitchers. I mean, Blaine Knight has done a good job, you know, filling in on that Friday role. And yeah, I mean, I think they're going to figure it out. I think they have enough on this roster here. And they're one of the, you know, like I said, I mean, they're a team that were projected to regional, but at the same time, they do need to have a nice showing, I think, this weekend. I mean, this is an important test for them and especially for Nebraska too.
Right.
I mean, this is, you know, because they've gotten off to a little bit of a slow start this year. So, you know, this is a chance for them to make a splash, you know.
Let's wrap up with a couple of questions here off of Facebook. Brad Allen asks, what are LSU's chances against TCU, Mike? I mean, really, I think LSU's chances against anybody are pretty good when they have Alex Lang and Jared Poche right now.
Yeah.
Poche threw 16 hitless innings to start the year.
Yeah.
In his first two starts. I think it was 15. 15 hitless innings.
Yeah.
But it'll be Lang against TCU, and Alex Lang's just ferocious. I mean, that guy's just his compete tool is almost as high as his breaking ball grade. I mean, it's sevens on both those. And yet TCU, that's a tough matchup for him, Mike, because when Alex Lang struggles, correct me if I'm wrong, when he struggles, it's because people lay off the breaking ball out of the zone, and he might walk some guys, and TCU's approach is aggressive, but a selective aggressive approach.
Yeah, I mean, TCU, it's been kind of interesting to see the shift from a really pitching-centric club to an offensive juggernaut.
They're a masher kind of team. I think of them as an offense-first program now, and that's just not what they were 5 years ago.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. And so yeah, that's the way I'm looking at it is, you know, it's going to be a tough test for Lang because you're right. I mean, he has to get that breaking ball over because that is generally the strategy against him is, you know, lay off of that curveball that's, you know, below the zone and just sit on the fastball.
Right.
You know, and we'll see too. I know that, you know, changeup is something that he's been working on as well. You know, how much is that going to factor into this? It's going to be a tough test, but, you know, it's really, you know, it's probably an Omaha preview. I mean,
absolutely.
You know, I see both these teams getting there and, you know, that's why, like I said, I'm a little jealous,
Teddy.
Yeah. Cause he's getting that preview and I'm sure the stakes there are pretty solid too, but then again, he's not a stake guy. So
that's exactly, he's so miscast. You'll have to just settle for the best rivalry in college baseball.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah.
Gino Romero asked, how will Arizona do at the Frisco tournament? I mean, I think we kind of touched on that, but I mean, it wouldn't shock me if Arizona got its lip bloodied a little bit here because they played Eastern Kentucky and a decent McNeese State.
Yeah.
They're taking it up a notch
in
competitiveness this weekend. It wouldn't shock me if Arizona went 2-1 or even 1-2 this weekend.
Yeah. At the same time, too, I mean, looking at the other teams in that field, I mean, Oklahoma State has, you know, kind of been up and down so far. I mean,
Trey Cobb is out, as you tweeted the other day.
Yeah, Trey Cobb, their closer, really important part of that pitching staff. A senior, he recorded the out that sent them to Omaha last year. And yeah, he's out with some elbow soreness and, you know, they're not going to know for a month, you know, when they'll get him back, just his status. So
he's not going to be back at least until Big 10, Big 12 season's, you know, well underway.
Yeah. So they've been trying to piece it together from a pitching standpoint. And, you know, they just lost, last night to St. Louis. So they're dealing with their own struggles. So this is, I think, an important weekend for them because, I mean, it's a young team. They lost a lot, especially from a position player standpoint.
Right.
You know, losing Donnie Walton and Connor Costello and guys like that. I mean, that's the heart of your team.
Donnie Walton was really like a heart and soul kind of guy.
Yeah. So, I mean, I could see, you know, we'll see how those teams do, but I think Arizona has a good chance to come out of it okay just because, you know, looking at the rest of the field there and how they've done so far this year. But I'm excited about this tournament just because I think it'll shed some light on who these teams actually are at this point. You know,
the 3 weeks in, I think all these coaches want to know a little bit more about the identity of their team going into conference play. Last question, we'll take this one from a Notre Dame fan. Bill Bass asked, what's up with Notre Dame this year? I really, right now, Mike, it's everything is wrong with Notre Dame. This is a team that the last few years has been an outstanding defensive team.
Yeah.
So far, they've made 17 errors in 7 games. That is very un-Mick Aoki-like.
Yeah.
Unfortunately for Notre Dame, this is fairly typical. They aren't hitting. 245 is a team thus far this year. They have pieces there, like Nick Podkol can hit a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Matt Verling's a talented hitter, talented offensive player.
Yeah.
Kyle Fiala, I know they had expectations for him.
Yeah.
It's not like guys, Jake Shepsky's off to a bad start. A couple other regulars are off to bad starts, but, you know, Notre Dame's identity is supposed to be pitching, defense, and enough offense. Right now, the bigger question is what's going on with them on the mound? Because, they're not pitching. I think that comes back to defense, but Brandon Bielik and Brad Bass and Shane Gunther. Shane Gunther 2 years ago was money out of their bullpen. Now he's just kind of like a guy there.
Yeah, and even, you know, Ryan Smoyer struggling for them too. And yeah, I mean, it's just
Pete Solomon has off to a good start. The team's top prospect. He's pitched well so far.
Yeah,
but he's one guy. So it's been a total system failure, really, at Notre Dame.
Yeah, and you know, and the thing with them too is, you know, if they're going to turn it around, they need to do it quickly because once you get into ACC play, I mean, the conference is so deep this year.
Not going to get easier.
Yeah, it's not going to get any easier at all. So
we'll have Notre Dame here this weekend. They're in Cary at the USA Baseball National Training Complex, part of the Irish Classic with Maryland, UMass Lowell, Rhode Island, Monmouth, Western Carolina's part of that, I believe. NC State's part of that. So we'll be at some of those games with the Baseball America staff. Mike, as we said, will be at South Carolina versus Clemson. Teddy reporting all weekend from Houston at the Shriners College Classic. And you got to talk a little bit about it with us here on Facebook Live, powered by Louisville Slugger. There is power in numbers. So for Mike Lanana, I'm John Manuel. We'll see you next time at BaseballAmerica.com and on our Facebook Live.
This concludes our program. Want more in-depth baseball coverage? Be a better fan. Visit BaseballAmerica.com to get more comprehensive baseball coverage.